Refresh My Memory, the podcast about movies, memories, and refreshing beverages. I'm Eric Fell.
And I'm Jason Dedrick.
And I'm Vicky Van.
We are going to be talking about Blade Runner, directed by Ridley Scott, released in 1982 and 1992 and 2007.
Yes. Recently, regularly re-released.
Yeah. I actually have a box set of this movie, and it mentions, it actually says, it's a little message from Ridley Scott, it says, "This, the final cut, is my definitive director's cut." So not the director's cut, which was released before the final cut. Lots of what? So, quick question, which cut did we all watch today?
I watched the director's 1992 cut.
I think excellent. I watched the final cut 2007-ish?
Uh-huh.
Is that right?
Okay.
Excellent. I also watched the 2007 final cut.
Okay. Does it have a narrative voiceover?
No.
Okay, neither did mine.
No, the director's cut and the final cut have a lot of the differences are just like digitally removing cables from the cars. Oh. I think Joanna Cassidy's face got digitally put over a stunt double when she was running through a window. Okay. Spoiler alert, folks, for those of you who haven't seen it, Joanna Cassidy's character runs through a window.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like Roger Rabbit. The same move from Roger Rabbit.
And they're like, "Why did you do that, Joanna Cassidy?" She said, "Only when it was funny." But what are our memories of The Blade Runner?
I think I've seen it dozens of times. I think the very first time I saw it was on VHS and when I was about 13.
Mm-hmm.
And I was desperately in love with Harrison Ford. Same with my sister. Everybody loved Harrison Ford.
Yeah, I was going to say, why are you saying this past tense? I think we're all still desperately in love with Harrison Ford.
It's true. It was on VHS and I was blown away and it was just something I hadn't seen before. I think it was the first kind of sci-fi noir thing I had seen. Before that, it was all like Star Wars and Star Trek and kind of that clean. What?
Oh, nothing. I was just very quietly trying to hide a burp from the cups that I've been drinking and waving away so that no one would notice or hear it. But I apologize for interrupting you by desperately trying to be discreet. Go on.
You're just flailing your arms around. Like, what's happening?
And a coke burp.
Okay. Yeah, so I saw it on VHS. I was about 13, I think. I was at home and I watched it and it was like an adult. There was some scary bits. Mm-hmm. I remember being like really grossed out by the eyes thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't really into horror movies, so I was like, I saw a horror movie when I was 5 and I got really badly affected by it. As I think I've talked about before.
Yes.
Jaws. So my parents kept me away from anything scary for the longest time. And this is one of the first scary movie with scary bits in it. It's not terribly scary, but yeah, I felt like, oh, it's an adult movie. Yeah.
And this was the original, this was pre-director's cut, right?
I think this was the US theatrical cut.
Okay. I'm going to tell you something about the VHS you might have watched.
Mm-hmm.
The home video release for Blade Runner had a little thing at the bottom, and it said, "This movie contains more graphic violence than the theatrical release." Oh. And it was this, like, international theatrical release. So, like, it was gorier than the theatrical. So you actually saw a version that was gorier than the theatrical release.
Yeah, it hit me pretty hard. I was lots of cringing and looking through my fingers and... Yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah. Did you watch from your kitchen?
No, I stayed in the room the whole time.
Oh, okay.
I was good about that. I, as usual on the show, I had never seen Blade Runner before. And what is my reason this time? Why didn't I see this one? So it comes out 82. I might have been a good age to see it, but I feel like I wasn't a good age to see it. I would have been 12 or 13, and this didn't interest me at all.
It was not marketed for you.
And I wasn't in love with Harrison Ford, so I had no draw for that.
See, this is where I should have done the Coke burp.
That's right. You got to pace yourself.
Yeah.
Wait for me to talk. And so I saw it for the first time the other day.
Oh, wow.
So here we go. So I get the DVD. Was it Blu-ray or DVD? No, it's DVD. But the day before I'm going to watch it, lo and behold, it comes on TV. And I say, I'm going to get me a twofer. I'm going to get me a twofer on Blade Runner, see what this show is all about. I knew a little bit about it. I agree that it looks fantastic. And I can totally see why people would be blown away by it and want to have a gigantic box set like Eric does, yeah, because it's so cool. My first question, just about being cool, is did that jacket that he wore ever become iconic in any way fashion-wise? Because that's really the standout outfit, I think, of the show. Everybody else is wearing ties and stuff. Yeah. Nobody looks... He has an awful shirt later on. But that jacket with the big collar...
I don't think it made an impact on mainstream anything for quite some time.
Oh, okay.
The movie didn't do well. I believe I've got a book about the making of it, and there's a chapter called An Indifferent Audience.
Yeah. Ah, well, that's me.
But it is a great jacket.
It also came out the same day as E.T.
Oh.
So that was a bit, it was a kind of dystopian, depressing film. And then you had E.T.
And The Thing came out around the same time.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of like, yeah, there was a lot of movies happened in 1982. And I think the ones with the happier endings wound up doing better than the ones with the sad endings. I don't want to cast any aspersions on movies with downbeat endings. Mm. I love a downbeat ending.
Is this a year after Raiders?
Raiders was 81, yes.
Yeah, okay. So that's it. So everybody's, that's in my mindset as well. Like this is, again, this guy, he can be Han Solo and Indiana Jones and he wants a third character in my little 13-year-old head.
Well, this was between Raiders and Jedi. This was the year between Raiders and Jedi. He did this one.
This is where he thought his career was going to go on a different trajectory. I'm not going to have to do this other stuff anymore.
How much is the contract for? That's my Harrison.
I'm not signing up for three.
It's my Harrison Ford. Yeah, I saw this movie way too young.
Yeah?
How old
were you?
Like seven.
Wow.
Seven. So how does this hit a seven-year-old?
I loved it.
And how do I hit a seven-year-old? And that's my other podcast.
Hopefully with like maybe a Nerf ball or
there
something.
There you go. Very good. You loved it.
Oh, yeah. I loved it. I thought it was great. For some reason, like I think it's because I saw a lot of like making of things. Gore in movies never bothered me because I knew, that's this. So I saw how it was made. And I saw the version with the extra graphic violence because that's what was at the Scott 72 video.
And what, for my reference then, what is the extra violence? Because
I think it was also in the final cut. It's when I'm going to...
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's, yeah. It's, you know, yeah, no, I know what you're talking about.
All the blood coming out. Because in I think the director's cut, I don't remember, some of the cuts when Roy kills Dr. Terrell, it's off camera and he just puts his hand over the side of the head and you just hear kind of like, you know, someone biting into an apple.
Right.
I think that was the Foley work there. And, but yeah, the European, the international cut, and I think the final cut had that going.
Right. Well, the director's cut that I saw has a little bit of the fingers going in the eyes, but not a lot of, there's no blood or anything.
Yeah, the final cut has the blood just pouring out.
Gross.
Yeah. This movie hit me real hard. In fact, I believe I've owned it on almost every home video format.
Wow.
Right.
I owned the VHS. I got the director's cut on Laserdisc.
Wow.
I got a DVD box set that has the director's cut, the US theatrical cut, the international theatrical cut, the final cut, and a work print cut with alternate takes, alternate music, and I think alternate titles. And then on 4K and Blu-ray, I have the final cut. And then I think I have it on digital because I got a digital code. So yeah, I've had it. I've had it a lot.
What kind of alternate music does it have? Because Vangelis is so...
Yeah, I think it was just temp track stuff.
Oh, okay.
It's been a couple of years since I've seen that one.
Mm.
But
that's a circus music.
You know what I found out about that song? I think that song's called like Arrival of the Gladiators. And it was meant to like celebrate the arrival of all these like powerful warriors. Let's get them. But you mentioned the soundtrack.
Yeah.
That was the first CD I ever bought.
Oh, wow.
It was in the late 80s. It was before I owned a CD player.
Mm.
And it turns out it wasn't the soundtrack to Blade Runner. It was something called music from the film Blade Runner by the New American Orchestra.
Oh.
And I went over to a friend's place and he had a CD player. And we're like, oh, man, we got the Blade Runner soundtrack. Let's crank those end titles. And what there was like a waka chicka waka chicka waka chicka waka chicka underscore and like a horn section, and I was like, and I was crushed. The soundtrack didn't actually come out until 1994.
Oh, okay. Yeah, one of those deals. Yeah,
yeah. But that was just, yeah, just another sort of nostalgic memory of this is the first CD I ever bought. I put in as like, this is not what I want.
That's funny.
We had this recording device that you could plug into your TV and record just sound off of. I don't know where we got. My dad was a musician, so it was probably from him. And we would record the music off of directly off the VHS. And we had the Blade Runner end soundtrack for on tape with like Top Gun and Stand By Me and stuff like that mixed in.
That's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah,
like that.
So we'd listen to that and play. And but I remember having the soundtrack and being, we had a visit to LA about 8 years ago and playing the end credits while going down into LA and on in our rental car. And yeah, it's pretty cool.
I remember it was raining one night in November 2019 and I was downtown and there was lots of neon and I took some pictures and I put my earphones in. I was walking like, yeah. Because that's why would I want to live? That's what I think is funny when there's people who are like, yeah, we want to live in the sort of cyberpunk thing. It's like, no, no, no. See, that world is a warning.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's what it was. It was, we don't want to be there. No. We don't want to be with all those companies that aren't around anymore, like Pan Am and Atari.
Only Coca-Cola. That's funny. I did write down in the notes here. I said Pan Am, Atari, and Coke. There we go.
Yeah. And I knew it was a dystopia when the only beers being advertised were Schlitz and Budweiser. Thank you.
All right, so I mean, this movie is visually stunning, right? We come in at the beginning there, and you see the plumes come up. I don't know if this is after, is this after a war, or is this just decay of society? Because I think the original book, the story, is post-apocalyptic, but I didn't get post-apocalyptic off of this.
I mean, the book is so very different from the movie.
Okay.
Whenever people complain about a movie adaptation not being like the book, I then say, but then we wouldn't have Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Right.
Just because it works in a book doesn't mean it works in a movie, folks.
We'd have a guy with a pet sheep and no jacket.
Yep. And I think it said, like, Roy Batty, he looks like a gym teacher. I think that's in the book. Could you imagine Roy Batty as your gym teacher? I think it might go a little something. No.
I like this. And so, yeah, so, you got that opening scene. Now, it was funny because that guy comes in, and that guy was in everything, the guy that's going to be the first guy that's going to be arrested as the replicant.
Yeah, that is Brian James.
Brian James.
An incredible character actor.
Yes. Always with the, either could be a dumb guy, could be a bad guy. Bad dumb guy.
He plays a high-powered Hollywood exec in The Player.
Yeah. And I remember thinking that at the time going, whoa, he's supposed to be a bad dumb guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's the first guy. And so for a snack, there's very little snacking in this movie.
Yeah.
But you may recall in his questioning to determine his emotional state.
Right, the Voight-Kampff test.
Excuse me?
That's what it's called. It's called the Voight-Kampff test. The Voight-Kampff test. It's named after John Voight and Jennifer Kampff. I went to school with her. I don't know if anyone's going to get that joke.
What struck him and really alarmed him was the fact that there'd be a tortoise.
What's a tortoise?
You know what a turtle is?
Huh?
Same thing. In fact, so close. We have turtles chocolates for you to enjoy, but they're all upside down.
Yes.
And you know what they're going to go perfect with?
What?
The only delicious-looking drink we saw in this, cheap whiskey.
Turtles and cheap whiskey. I'm all about this.
What would you like to have first? Would you like to have whiskey or would you like to have turtles?
I mean, the whiskey will be more audio friendly than the nut filled crunchy snack. And we can let them melt for a while to have their belly baking in the hot sun.
Oh, nicely done. Would you like whiskey on the rocks just to sip at do the rest of our...
Yes, please. Good. I like my whiskey on the rocks.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
And did you want to have a Tennessee sipping whiskey, Jack Daniels? Or would you like to have rye, some Canadian rye? Or do you want both?
I'll go with the Jack.
I would love some Jack Daniels as well. There is a whiskey that I tried to get, but Katie only thought of it today. Katie said, oh my gosh, Eric, do you remember that whiskey you had that was artificially aged?
Yeah. That would have been perfect.
I know, but it would have, I would have had to drive all the way out to near where Jason lives, actually, closer to where Jason lives. We won't reveal where Jason lives. But there's a whiskey distillery out there, and they have artificially aged whiskey, and they call it Time Machine Whiskey. And it could be in honor of, you know, poor old J.F. Sebastian with his Methuselah syndrome.
And the replicants.
And the replicants. Yes. Which, by the way, watching it, I remember there was one point I clued in as an adult that the reason Roy Batty was acting, if you watch how he acts, he's acting like a child. Because he was given, you know, all his feelings at once. He had 4 years to develop all that. But like when he doesn't get what he wants, he throws a tantrum, and his tantrum is murder.
Thank you.
Did you want a little bit of water in there as well, or do you just like it neat?
I'll try it neat.
All right.
I don't know the difference.
They say that if you add a little bit of water to whiskeys and most alcohols, it takes a little bit of the burn away and you can taste it better. But I'm too drunk usually to care about that.
Yeah, by that point, I think, oh, I deserve the burn.
Let's try it with a little water. That's pretty strong. Thank you.
There we go.
Bitty-boo! That'll make a difference.
That little splash.
That little splash. It will.
Now, this does have a lot of character to it.
Yeah, no, it's still... That's what they call it.
Oh, thanks. Add half a cup of water to it.
That was great.
I imagine even if it's watered down. Yeah, that face still... I don't think you're really a Jack
fan. I'm not a Jack fan. Yeah. I've just discovered this now.
That's the only way to learn.
Have a tortoise.
Have a turtle. Have a turtle. That'll cleanse the palate.
Yes. Chocolate fixes everything.
As I was going through the movie, unfortunately, because as I write the notes, as much as I liked the movie, I really did like the movie, but I look back at my notes and there are always criticisms, and I don't want to go through a list of criticisms, but I will since we're talking about this scene. How did he get a gun in there? Do you find a lot of plot holes in this, even though that you love this movie? Can you critique this movie in any way?
Oh, I mean, there are certain things that I can say about it that might have been done better in terms of decisions made by the director versus the writer. For example, retroactively misunderstanding his own material. that's honestly my hot take is that it's not that, because Ridley Scott has straight up said Deckard is a replicant.
Oh,
that's what I was going to ask. So I'm watching. So I get to the end of the movie, and I'm like, I thought he was supposed to be a replicant. Go on.
So here's the thing.
Okay.
Hampton Fancher, who wrote the movie, wrote it as, no, he's not a replicant. Ridley Scott, the director, goes, he actually says something like, oh, you gotta have rocks in your head if you don't know he's a replicant. And to me, Deckard being a replicant really invalidates a lot of the film, because Deckard is cold. Deckard is a killer. Deckard is doing what he's doing, not because of his nature, but because of his job. And it's the replicants who show more humanity than the humans. And that invalidates all that if he's a replicant.
Yeah.
Just all of it. My hot take is the answer is just to ask the question. That's the question. Is Deckard a replicant? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And I love that in the sequel, they actually address that.
Okay.
There is a moment where they're like, hey, Deckard, you're human. No, wait, you're a replicant. And all Harrison Ford says is, I know what's real. And that's all we get. Because that's not the important thing. But now, I mean, we all saw Prometheus. we know how Ridley Scott is when he goes back and looks at his older stuff. So there's some things and a couple scenes here there where you're like, no.
Is that how he got his nickname, Diddly Squat? Doesn't care about his...
I mean, he is brilliant. Ridley Scott is brilliant. He just keeps... And he's like, what is he, 80, 82? 82 or something, and he's still pumping out a movie a year.
Yeah.
He's one of those directors that I always think died 20 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, it was, same with Robert Altman prior to him dying. He died, right?
Yeah, about 20,
He would come up with a movie, and I thought, geez, I could have sworn that he died 10 years ago. And that's just always, because he is so old and he's so ever-present. He does a little intro at the beginning of the cut that I had, right?
Yes,
where he looks like completely disinterested. You know, he couldn't have been like, wake up, it's time to do the, how much you love this. This is my final cut, and I guarantee that this is the end of the thing. And enjoy it. I'm like, what? Okay. And off we go. But there was no clue to me that he would be a replicant. I didn't know why I would care that he would be a replicant. Because the only replicants that we're aware of are the 4/5/6/1, depending.
Yeah.
And so for him to be in our theory, if he was a replicant, is he a version 4? And they only use the replicants to kill replicants? Is that how we're going to try to flesh this out, or do we even care? Should I just stop talking?
I mean, it's interesting that you say, do we use replicants to kill replicants? Because that is addressed in the sequel.
Wow, I should have watched that sequel.
Denis Villeneuve made that one, and apparently Ridley Scott didn't care for it.
Oh, really?
He and I differ very strongly on our opinions on Blade Runner 24. I genuinely, truly adore that movie.
Mm, okay.
That movie I saw in the theater, I cried from the cinematography. That one, that's how I feel about that movie. But we're talking about this movie, so.
I saw Batman and I cried, but that's because I was right in the very front row, right off to the side, and so like it was the worst seat in the house.
So there's quite a bit of drinking in the movie, but if we were going to make up our own drink based on this movie, let's discuss.
Let's spitball a drink.
Let's spitball.
What was the one we were talking about where we were like, oh, it was such a dark movie. We had to use something dark, and we were trying to do that. We had spitballing, we were going to have neon Twizzlers in the drink and stuff like that.
Not Double Indemnity.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Because that's where I was going again with
that.
And
okay.
I was thinking, I don't know.
There's neon, it's dark.
It's neon dark, but I don't think you can get neon to light up in the dark of a drink easily to replicate at home.
Okay.
Replicant at home. And they were drinking, Johnny Walker is in the movie, apparently. But I was looking
carefully.
And I missed it. Because when he gets the drink from his buddy there at the police headquarters, looks like a train station.
it is.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew this.
this Jack Daniels is working great. This will be fine. Just pour yourself a glass of Jack at home. Anyway, I was racking my brain trying to think, is there something that's twigging in my head that would be other than just whiskey? Oh, that's what I was going to say. It looks like a really dark red bourbon is what it struck me as, that his Harvey? What's the police guy's name? His main guy.
Oh, Bryant.
Bryant.
Played by M. Emmett Walsh.
M. Emmett, yes. Not stuttering.
That's what.
Yeah.
Oh, did he?
So many great characters in this movie. James Hong was in the movie.
Yes.
I love James Hong.
The eyes have it, James.
Yep.
And so speaking of James Hong, suddenly it hit me. This movie needs an Asian influence. Because if you look closely, there's an Asian influence in scenes in this movie. I don't know if you noticed. Think about it.
Huh.
And so I started to go through a cocktail book I had, and it had as an ingredient, which I brought along today to leave with our blessed creator, this is yuzu, sort of a sake. So this is something that's going to be a little bit brighter. Yuzu is kind of a citrus thing. It's somewhere between a lemon and a lime, I think, is sort of the cutting flavor. And it's normally mixed with gin. Gin wasn't dark enough. So I mixed it with bourbon and a little bit of lemon juice and... because they're the only company that survived, Coca-Cola spiced.
Spiced Coca-Cola.
And so I created a drink that I think tasted okay.
And you can't spell Coke without okay.
This is it. So there you go.
What is spiced Coca-Cola?
This is some new product that came out recently.
I missed it.
They say it's spiced, but it's actually raspberry spiced flavor.
Oh,
I think it would work with regular Coke.
Okay.
It's going to look nice and dark.
Yeah.
Like my theme was. It's going to have a huge Asian influence, like the movie has.
Yeah.
And if you guys agree to that, we'll get our creator to create it, and verify that it's an actual drink.
Sounds good. Now we need a name.
Well.
Replicant?
Replican.
Replicant.
Final thoughts on Blade Runner?
I've seen it so many times. We watched it in university in our postmodernism theory class, and there was lots of talk about simulacrum and poisoned environments and futurism and all this stuff. But watching it now, I just am amazed for 1982 how they used just the dimness of light and pops of light, and the cinematography is just leaps ahead of most other things coming out that time, other than like the big movies like Star Wars and 2001. I don't see a 2001 influence, but yeah, it's a spectacularly beautiful movie. The sets, the miniatures, and just the mood of it is just amazing. So that was my final thoughts.
There you go.
Beautiful mood.
I do want to see it again because I get totally why people want to see it again. It's a repeat viewer for sure. But part of the reason I want to see it again is that there's parts of it, and I can't put my finger on it. But I've tried to figure out. It should be better somehow. And I think it. But I don't. If you would say, well, what would you do? I said, I don't know what I would do.
Yeah.
You know what I think I want it to do, and I think this is me being spoiled now in the Netscape world. Is I think I need an 8-part or a 10-part of this story. I need more background on him. I need more of this environment. I don't know why they can tell the same story, but I just feel that it the constraints of movies sometimes. Mm. As much as people love. They say, oh, I need the 90 minutes. I want the 2-hour canvas to paint my picture. I don't think sometimes it's big enough for a movie like this. And watching all of the old noir that I do, I think when it doesn't live up to, in my little head, what I'm thinking I want this noir thing to be, I think that's why I'm like, oh, I don't know that. And then you got through this sort of romance in here. And I'm like, well, why do I care about this? And I don't know. I needed to be fleshed out a little bit more for me.
A really good TV show.
Yeah.
Although I don't know if I want to see a Blade Runner TV show.
That might
ruin the movie for me.
Yeah, I think that's why it shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
But yet, that's what I need. I need them.
Well, I got good news for Jason and bad news for Vicky.
Oh, no.
It's called Blade Runner 2099. Has nothing to do with Marvel Comics. but yeah, it's Ridley Scott is putting that together. I think it's shooting in Ireland.
Okay.
So it takes place 50 years after 2049, which because he didn't like it, I guess. your main criticism was I wish there was more of it.
I think so.
It's a pretty good.
Yeah, it's a good criticism, right?
I would call that a compliment.
Yeah.
You know, I think Roger Ebert said no good movie is too long and no bad movie is too short. Something like that. I butchered his words, but you get the idea. Yeah.
I do. And that's exactly how I would feel about this. Is I need more something there. I need the better parts to be better, and I need the less eye gouging. That's minor.
Yeah.
And of course, it's just funny because now looking back at it all these years later, you know, the first that you see Sebastian there is just, well, it's Larry, Larry, yeah. Daryl, and Daryl.
I'm JF Sebastian. This is my brother Daryl and my other brother Daryl.
That's what the two little guys.
Yeah.
My biggest joy actually was when the credits started up and it said Edward James Olmos. This is just a secondary story, but I forgot to tell the story. This happened to me at Christmas time and I wanted to tell it to you because I thought you'd get a kick out of it. And if you didn't, I understand too. But it popped into my head and I wrote it down. I said, I got to tell my Edward James Olmos story.
Okay.
I'm at Guildford. I'm going down the escalator. And at the bottom of the escalator coming up, a guy gets on. And I think to myself, that guy looks like Edward James Olmos. And as he comes closer, he turned his head and he was just a South Asian guy. He did not look like Edward James Olmos. And my head said, Edward James Almost. And I giggled and giggled and giggled for the rest of the day.
I swear to you, that is part of my riff of the movie Cobra. Because there was a guy who looks a lot like Edward James Almost. And I go, okay. It's Edward James Almost. There is somewhere out there, I think it was when they re-released this movie, there is an interview with Edward James Almost. And like, so it's like 2007. So we all know he was working on Battlestar Galactica at the time.
Yeah.
And he actually says something like, Yeah, there's a question of whether Deckard is a Cylon. Which I love. Blade Runner, like you, Vicky, I've seen it like a million times. I'm going to see it a million times more. I want to track down every cut of this film. It's just I really do love this movie with all of its issues and faults. I actually have a beautiful print in the, it's done sort of as a tribute to Nagel. Is that
Nagel?
Nagel. Yeah. Of Sean Young, of Rachel from Blade Runner, an amazing profile shot. I'll send the picture out and just up on our wall, and it's great. I love the movie. Mm-hmm. And if you love the movie or not, but if you want to make a replicant or any other drink inspired by any other movie we've ever done, go for it. And send the pictures to sneakyd@sneakydragon.com along with any sort of questions or anything you might have. We love to hear from you. In fact, someone has made a letterboxed list of the movies we've done so far.
Yeah, so cool.
I love that. So thank you for doing that. I'm Eric Fell on all your social medias.
I'm Jason Dedrick. And as I always say, you can't find me anywhere. Happiness and success haven't found me. What hope do you have?
I'm Vicky Van. I'm on, I guess it's Twitter, X, whatever, at Shut Up Nerd. But I don't really post there that much, so... But if you send me a message, I'll reply. So there's that.
Thank you so much, and may all your turtles be chocolate. I don't know.